Tonight we are in the book of Joel. The book of Joel, as we have mentioned, every book in the Bible, especially the minor prophets, has some prophecies that speak to us in these last days. And especially in the book of Joel, in the passage that has been quoted in the book of Acts chapter 2, it has special reference to the church age. But we recognize as we study each one of these books that there is a dual fulfillment in prophecy. According to many scholars, Joel possibly could be one of the first prophets among all these minor prophets to prophesy. And during his time, the Assyrian Empire and the Babylonian Empire has not arisen to dominate the nation of Israel yet. So Joel, the prophet, seems to prophesy in the early days of the nation of Israel, which would be during the time when the Philistines, Egyptians and the Edomites were still the main enemies of the Israelites. And Israel has yet a long way to go in its history. But yet, as we see in this book, in the book of Joel, first of all, we consider it from the Jewish aspect. And from the Jewish aspect, we want to consider the literal fulfillment, and then later we look at the church aspect. So as we look into this book, let's consider first in Joel chapter 1, Joel chapter 1, there seems to have been a plague of locusts that occurred just before his prophecy. Locusts are mentioned in chapter 1, verse 4. There are four types of locusts mentioned. And even scholars agree that the different types of description of locusts are still not very clear even today. There is, in verse 4, the chewing locust, the swarming locust, the crawling locust, and the consuming locust. Four different forms or types. And apparently after those the plague of locusts has taken place, Joel came forth with a tremendous prophecy, warning the Israelites to turn back to God, unless they want to see the destruction come upon the land in the worst form. And he's saying that the things that have happened are only a type of what is to happen still, a greater disaster that will happen. We realize that any Tom, Dick or Harry could easily take a natural disaster and start prophesying something else to come. But we realize that nothing happens in the natural world without it first happening in the spiritual world. And it seems that in the Bible, there are always some form of natural signs that do occur before some greater destruction or some sort of warning comes in the natural before a greater judgmental disaster comes. It seems to be very common. And just to point to this kind of historical occurrence, Let's look first at the book of Matthew, chapter 24. There's another minor prophet who also prophesied during the time of an earthquake. And after an earthquake, we consider that in one of these other minor prophets, Amos, etc. And we realize that after an earthquake, then comes this prophet and say, there's greater things of destruction to come. And this kind of occurrence seems to be quite common in Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Jesus, in talking about the last days, says in verse 7, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Now all these things in verse 7 we see are quite common in a small and in a big way. But look at verse 8, it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. He considers some of these things as the beginning of some other thing. Verse 6 and verse 7 need to be taken together. See, all these are just the beginning of something else. If we look at the book of Revelation, we realize that several times something happens to the sun. And a major part of the book of Revelation covers the 3.5 years when the Antichrist and the whole earth has the bowls of wrath pour upon the whole earth, and tremendous things happen in the world. It's as if every earthquake in history was placed right there in the 3.5 years. The plagues, the famine, and everything that has happened. And what we realize is that there seems to be some sort of control out there in the spirit world. You remember the four horses in the book of Revelation? And there's a horse, a white horse, and then there is a horse that symbolizes pestilence, and a horse that symbolizes death. There seems to be out there spiritual forces that play havoc on the natural face of this earth. And somehow, nothing happens in the natural. That includes not only natural circumstances that surround you and me, but catastrophic disasters, things that affect the whole world. Nothing happens without some sort of spiritual significance involved. Even though today we don't have the same kind of Old Testament prophets going around, but yet we need to have the ear of the Holy Spirit to listen to what the Spirit is saying. Every time there is a sort of sign that comes as a pestilence, a famine, an earthquake, etc. Now some of those things we realize could be a reaping of what is sown. Some of those things could be a reaping of what is sown. And in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we realize that it is the law of God that whenever innocent bloodshed is done on any place, it brings forth a famine. Well, let me just quote the scriptures, all these things. Oh, you're looking at me and saying, what is all these things? Where did all these things come from? These are laws that God has made to function, that govern the natural forces of the planet Earth. In the book of Genesis, chapter 4, after Cain killed Abel, God told Cain in verse 12, chapter 4 verse 12, when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. Now the first part of the verse is what we want to take. When you till the ground, that's after innocent blood was shed, there the ground will no more yield its strength. If you analyze it scientifically, we say, you know, it's very funny because if blood is shed, blood contains iron, it contains nutrition, and goes into the soil. And of course, we realize that blood is not a form of fertilizer. But if you try to analyze it scientifically, it doesn't seem to tally. But there is a principle out there, and there's an Almighty God who created this earth and who says this is how the earth will function. Righteousness will exalt and righteousness will bring blessing and godliness will bring blessing. And then you remember Sodom and Gomorrah, how he could not tolerate all these things that come. Perhaps there are people who live in Sodom and Gomorrah in those days. The location of Sodom and Gomorrah, according to Bible archaeology, is right where the Dead Sea is. And the Dead Sea is the lowest point on the earth. That tells us that when God rained down, if we accept the Bible story, when God rained down the hailstones and the fire from heaven, it knocked a big hole on the earth. Boom! And it became the Dead Sea, the lowest point on the earth. It's no joke when God throws a stone down. And up to today, we see that mark still there. It's the location of where Sodom and Gomorrah is. Perhaps there are people who don't live like Abraham and who didn't see the two angels or didn't see God. All they see is a natural disaster that happened. And if you read the story of how the Israelites conquered Canaan, it tells you that God sends these hornets ahead of them and hailstones ahead of them. And the Bible tells us that there are more who died by the hailstone than by the sword. There are people who are there who did not probably see the angel and they say, "My, it's raining right now." There are a lot of things happening out there that we need to be sensitive to the spirit world. And if we will be sensitive to the spirit world, we will pick up. We will pick up some things in the spirit and we will sense it and we will be aware of them. And as we look at the book of Joel, we realize that he is not the only book who speaks after a major disaster. Other prophets speak after an earthquake, etc. And all these many times have a certain message involved. Now, of course, we don't want anyone to go to the extreme that every time perhaps a building falls to the ground, you say, "I wonder what spiritual message God has." No, there's no spiritual message. There's an engineering defect, possibly. But we are talking about natural disasters that took place that are beyond man's control. There are forces out there. There are wild spiritual horses out there. There are demon spirits out there. And so Joel was trying to turn the Israelites back to God, saying to the Israelites, "Look here, this locust, natural little locust, little grasshopper-looking like creatures and insects, are only a symbol of something greater, of an army from the north that will come and devour Israel." He's prophesying about the Assyrians. He's prophesying about the Babylonians. He's prophesying about the Chaldeans. Way ahead. Which took place much, much later. In the book of Joel, if you look at chapter 2, from chapter 1 verse 4, he talks about the locust. To chapter 2, he starts talking about the army. A coming army of judgment in verse 2. A day of darkness and gloominess. Chapter 2 verse 2, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the light of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generation. And look at what this group of people brought. They brought a disaster in verse 3. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden behind them, and before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. And the appearance of horses, the appearance is the appearance of horses, like swift steeds as they run, with a noise like chariots. Suddenly he speaks about an army coming to devour the nation of Israel. Then in chapter 2, verse 20, he says that if the nation fasts, in verse 20, "I will remove far from you the northern army." the northern army. Notice that that has not really taken place yet in the book of Joel. So he saw in the natural disaster a sign and a message of something else.